a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, everyone. Call Health and Human Services meeting to order on a nice, warm, sunny day as compared to where it might be in other parts of the country. Aren't we glad we live in South Dakota? Most days, yeah. Well, welcome, everyone, and especially to the internet listeners this morning. We've got a nice-looking group of students here from Wall High School. It's good to see you folks here. We've got a number of other hanger-ons that we see from time to time walking around, so look forward to kind of some interesting times today. Just a reminder to turn off your cell phone if you haven't already done so. I better check my own. It wasn't silence. Ooh, it would have been a bad deal. Poor example to have set. Also, if you do intend to testify today, be sure and sign in at the lectern over there so that we have a record of that. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Bradford.
Here.
Curd.
Here.
Heinert.
Here.
Jensen. Rush.
Here.
Teason.
Here.
Rampelberg.
Here.
There is a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We do have a quorum. How about the minutes? Has everyone had a chance to take a look at the minutes of the last meeting?
Move to approve that.
Move. Second. Is that a second, Senator? Senator Rush. No, Senator Rush made the motion, and Senator Bradford is commenting, which I took to mean that he's seconding the motion. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Minutes are approved as presented. Well, taking a look at our two interns here today. This might be the last meeting that we have. So, interns, why don't you come up and please introduce yourselves and tell the students from Wall why it's a good thing that you're doing and why you would recommend it to them.
Pages,
I mean. Why did I say interns? Sorry, Camille. Pages. Come on up, folks. I know you know the drill.
I'm Blaze Jones, and I'm from Britton-Hecla High School, and I plan on attending SDSU for pharmacy.
I'm Bridger Etter from Watertown, and I'm going to University of Mary for education next year.
Great. Well, thank you again for your service. Thanks for putting up with us and all of the things that we end up asking you to do. Well, let's go ahead then and proceed. What I'd like to do this morning, we have a couple of confirmations to make, and we have one bill. Because the person who is sponsoring the confirmations has another hearing, she's asked that we move the House Bill 1230 to the top of the calendar for today and begin there. Representative Lateral, is that going to work okay for you? Okay, well, let's go ahead. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on just a second. Are you free now, Madam Secretary?
You bet.
Come on in there. We'll go ahead and go back to that. I'm sorry. We'll, Representative. Yes.
Could I have a personal preference?
Certainly. Go ahead, Senator.
I'd like to introduce the students from Wall High School and their instructor. They happen to be part of them in my district, although most of them are in yours.
True. What would you like to say about them, Senator? They're all outstanding students.
I invited them to our caucus.
Good man. All right. Well, thank you for coming. And I guess, Senator, probably they all have straight 4-point grade averages.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. They're all musicians and talented. Welcome, High School of Wall. Good to see you folks this morning. Like I said, you'll see some interesting things today, so stick around. Let's go ahead and start off with the confirmation. Do we have a proponent for the governor's reappointment of Gloria Pearson to the Secretary of Department of Human Services? Welcome, Madam Secretary.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Kim Olson-Reisden. I work for Governor Dugard and am juggling a bunch of things this morning, including my own confirmation hearing for the Department of Health, so I apologize for kind of running in here. I have the pleasure to be here today to talk to you about two extraordinary women who exemplify public service in our state. I'm really proud to call these two women my friends as well. It's easy to say good things about good people, and so I won't go on and on and on, but please know that both Gloria and Lynn Valente have my full respect as professionals, as people that do right with the resources that we have, and that are always keeping the people that we're trying to serve first. So I'm going to start with Gloria. Gloria's a native of Sisseton, and a graduate of South Dakota State University and Northern State University with her master's in school administration. And so we're really lucky to have her in human services and not getting sucked up by those schools. She's served people with disabilities for pretty much her entire career. She has served as the executive director of community support facilities and programs in our state. She served as the executive director in Yankton for 13 years and also served in a similar role leading the agency in Chamberlain. She is considered by her peers and by the state as truly a leader in what it means to provide accountable services that are responsive to the needs of people with disabilities and their families. And when you talk to Gloria about any issue, I guarantee you will see that come through. She served actually as Secretary of the Department of Human Services since 2013. And so in that time, she has heralded the implementation of the Governor's Employment Task Force for People with Disabilities. It's very important that all people find the value of work that hopefully we all find in this room. And that's important for people with disabilities as well. And Gloria has championed the implementation of those recommendations. She's also done substantive work in our vocational rehabilitation program and with our developmental center in Redfield. Gloria and her husband, Jim, they're delightful. They're leaders in their community. If you ever get a chance to meet Jim, he's just a great, great guy. It speaks well of them. We're very lucky to have Gloria serving in her role, and I appreciate your support of Governor Dugard's reappointment of Gloria Pearson as Secretary of the Department of Human Services.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Gloria, come on up and make a few comments. Tell us who you are. Are you really that good? Yes, I know you are. Please proceed.
I'll try not to be redundant on anything.
Let's start with your name.
Okay. My name is Gloria Pearson. I'm the Secretary of the Department of Human Services. And as Kim said, I've made it through a year, so I'm pretty excited about that. I'm really pleased and grateful to the governor for giving me this opportunity. I really consider it a privilege to serve as the Secretary of the Department of Human Services. As Kim also said, I have spent the last 25 years in the field of developmental disabilities, serving as executive director and CEO of providers. And I have to say that it has been my passion and pleasure to work on ways to improve how people with disabilities are viewed and how they're supported in the state of South Dakota. My husband, Jim, who is an Episcopal priest, and I have three grown sons, and two of those sons are married now, so we have two daughters. And then one of my sons and his wife have two daughters, so we have grandchildren now. And I think it's just fascinating how, someone who had all sons can now have a family that's mostly girls. It's wonderful the way nature works, I think. This past year has been an incredibly busy year and a rewarding one, and I just want to highlight a few things, if that's all right. One of the first projects that I worked on was the task force report for the Governor's Employment Works Task Force, and we're taking the lead on that in Human Services, so we outlined a lot of things that we felt we could do in the Department of Human Services to really bring about more opportunities and awareness as well to people with developmental disabilities and other disabilities. The goals and objectives we outlined ranged from support of business-led organizations who can help with technical assistance for employers who want to hire folks with disabilities to the state itself becoming more of a model employer of people with disabilities. And one of the ways we're doing that is by having state departments partner with school districts and with vocational rehabilitation services to provide paid opportunities for students with disabilities through Project Skills. I also brought copies of the task force report and the annual report for anybody that's interested. We amended one of our Medicaid waivers that supports people with intellectual and developmental disabilities to get rid of the cost share that was a significant disincentive to employment. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid approved our amendment, and so now people are able to work more and earn more. And as you can see, we have really renewed our emphasis on employment in the Department of Human Services in all our divisions, because we really feel that work is an important part of our lives and everyone else's lives as well. Through the passage of House Bill 1166 last year, we updated the telecommunications services that we provide to include iPhones and iPads to people who are deaf or hard of hearing or have other disabilities if that's the best thing that works for them. We also implemented the Hearing Aid Assistance Program, which provides financial assistance for the cost of hearing aids to children under the age of 19. Another thing that I'd like to quickly mention, and it'll be the last one, is that we've updated the video magnifiers that we provide through a lease and loan program to people with visual impairments, and we are able to replace some old outdated large monitors with some flat screens with high definition, and that has made a big difference in that program. Another emphasis in working with folks who have visual impairments has been to provide more training on using technology, because as we all know, technology has changed to become highly visual. So we want people to really know how to utilize their devices and take advantage of the built-in software and so forth that make those accessible. So there's much more that we've done, and we have a great deal more to do, but I just want to leave you with those few highlights. Thank you for your time and interest today, and thank you for your service to South Dakota, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Pearson. I just was wondering, a little attempt at levity here. I was wondering if you could maybe get one of those hearing aid things for Senator Bradford.
Is he under 19?
Well, looks like it to me. Yeah, oh, 50, 60 years ago, maybe. Sorry, Senator, I had to pick a little. I had to pick him a little bit. He's my friend. He knows I'm picking on him. Thank you, Senator. Go ahead.
My grandson has somewhat of a speech. I didn't hear you mention that area. When you work in that area, you had to have a throat clipped when And although he's doing real good in school, I wondered about it. I heard you mention iPad. Of course, I get that point, but I know there is people who probably can't afford it.
Go ahead.
Yes, speech impairments would qualify under the telecommunication services program, so I would encourage the family to check into that.
Yeah. Thank you. Other questions? Senator Rush.
Also, in a little bit of levity, I've got 3 sons and 5 grandsons. Do you have any secret about it?
Yeah, I've got 5 grandsons and 1 granddaughter, so I don't know what it is. It's Y and the X chromosomes wandering around. Other questions? Well, then, do we have other further proponents? Thank you, Madam Secretary. Further proponents? Seeing none, do we have any opponents? Any fools? I'm sorry, any other opponents? Well, let's move then from testimony into questions. We've asked some questions. Let's move then to a discussion and or action.
Sure.
Senator Curd.
I move that the Senate Health Committee confirm the governor's reappointment.
We have a motion by Senator Kerr to advise and consent to the reappointment. We have a second from Senator Bradford. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Bradford.
Aye.
Kurd.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Jensen is excused. Rush.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
A motion to consent. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Senator Teason and a second by Senator.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Confirmation of Larry Pearson to the Department of Secretary, Department of Human Services will move to the toward the Senate calendar. Thank you. Let's keep moving. We're on a roll, folks. Do we have a proponent for the reappointment of Ben Valenti as Secretary of Department of Services? Welcome back.
Mr. Chair, you can just call me Kim. That'll be just fine. I'd like to share a few things about Lynn Valenti. You've had the pleasure of seeing Lynn in your committee for a long, long time. She's joined state government in 1998 and is an attorney by trade. She worked as the attorney for the Department of Human Services. That's where she and I first worked together. And we've lobbied a lot of bills together on behalf of folks in our state. Prior to coming to the state, she was an attorney serving vulnerable populations in New York City and her native Boston. Now, I mentioned that she's a native of Boston, but she had the good sense to marry a guy from South Dakota, and that's what brought them here. She and her husband, Mike, have four kids, and they are committed to, as a family, to public service. Mike has been a child protection supervisor for many, many years and is extremely well-regarded, and so that, I think, speaks well of where they come from as people. While Secretary of the Department of Social Services, she leads a team of over 1,600 staff across our state and manages about one quarter of the state's budget. The job responsibilities are huge. They touch the lives of one in five South Dakotans, and Lynn leads that team extremely well. She's extremely committed to public service, and again, whenever you talk to Lynn, it's about the people that we're serving and their families and how can we do right by them. I'm very pleased to be here in support of Lynn, and I appreciate your support of Governor Dugard's reappointment of Lynn Valenti as Secretary of the Department of Social Services.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Are there proponents? Well, and Ms. Valenti, do you want to come on up and tell us about yourself? You know, as she comes up, she's the third in line of some other very respectable and powerful, if you will, women that we all have great respect for, and I know that you will continue to fill those shoes, and welcome. Please give us some more background.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. It's really my pleasure to be here and my honor to be appointed by the governor. As you mentioned, you know, when I was first talking to the governor about this opportunity, I got to admit it's a very hard act to follow Deb Bowman and Kim Malsom-Risden, but you know, in that regard. However, I was fortunate in following them, and that the Department of Social Services is an amazing department. We're, as Kim said, we're the, you know, the largest department in state government, but extremely fortunate that we had both of them at the helm to lead that department, and we have just an amazing group of really committed staff. I can't emphasize enough the work that we do. And earlier in the session, very early on, I had the privilege to come before you and with some of my staff and do a presentation on the Department of Social Services and some of our key initiatives, including health homes and some work in the area of behavioral health with respect to the Human Services Center and the geriatrics units, some changes there, as well as our work in the criminal justice initiative. And I can't say enough about our staff. They are totally committed to the individuals and the families that we serve in South Dakota and do really hard work, and each and every day are out in communities helping folks. And also I can't
but help mention our provider groups who also work very closely with us and just do a great job. And together, as well as with the support of the governor's office and the legislature, we really do make families stronger and help families to succeed and give them hopefully the support and resources that they need to be successful and more independent. We also work closely with tribes as well in areas of child welfare especially and some of our benefits programs. So it's over the last year, it's been a lot of work, but really, as Kim said, I can't think of a better place where you really day in and day out have the opportunity to really make, substantial impact in the lives of people and just help people help themselves. Not that some days we don't do hard work, because we do hard work with child welfare, and, you know, in the area of child support, sometimes people, it's hard to make everybody happy, but it's really been my honor to do that. With your support, I would continue that work.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Secretary. Do we have other proponents? I better ask for other proponents before I get too far down the road. Why don't you sit right there for a second? I'm going to move then from proponent testimony to opponent testimony. Are there any opponents? Any opponent testimony? Anybody want to testify in opposition? If not, we'll move to questions. Questions from the committee. Any questions? You know, Madam Secretary, apparently not. You got it sold. You know, there's an old saying, when you got it sold, quit talking. Well, thank you for your time today. Let's move then from questions to discussion and or action on part of the committee. Senator Deason.
I would move that this committee recommend advice and consent of Lynn Valenti as a reappointment to the Secretary of the Department of Social Services.
We have a motion by Senator Thiessen. Is there a second? Second by Senator Kurd. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, let's move to vote. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Bradford.
Aye.
Kurd.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Jensen is excused. Rush.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
We have unanimous.
Move consent.
We have motion for consent. Is there a second? Second for Senator Kurd. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. House Bill 1230. I'm sorry, the confirmation, you know, I'm a visual person, and when I see something, my mind just says, and I was looking down, unfortunately, that we, anyway, the reappointment of Secretary Lynn Valenti to the Department of Social Services is approved, and we'll move to the Senate floor on the consent calendar. Thank you, gals, for showing up today. You know, students, you have no idea what this young lady over here takes care of within our state. I mean, there's multiple departments, multiple programs that have to do with the government. It's probably the most complex organization that we have in the state. Looks pretty simple with what you saw today, but if you ever get a chance to go online and see what happens within the Department of Human Services, Human Services as well, but Department of Social Services is a very complex organization, and we're glad we have you, Senator Secretary. Thank you all. Well, okay, moving it on our calendar then, we have the one bill for the day, House Bill 1230. Let's go ahead and kick this off. Do we have proponents for House Bill 1230? Welcome, Representative.
Thank you, committee members. Mr. Chairman, Isaac Latterell, State Representative, District 6. And I would like to discuss with you House Bill 1230 today. And if I could get a page to help pass out these two handouts to the committee, I believe one of the senators also already has one of the copies. What I want to talk to you today about is a very disturbing and I think extremely important subject that's happening in our nation and in our state. And it regards the original language of House Bill 1230 as well as the amendment that I'm passing out before you. So, Mr. Chairman, if I could have latitude to speak to both.
Yes, please do.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, most states, including South Dakota, allow the death penalty for murderers. But even even there's certain methods of execution that are so revolting, like beheading or dismemberment, that no state would ever permit happen, even against murderers who happen to use the same method on their victims. It's the revulsion against these types of practices that leads us to rightly condemn anyone in our world who would commit beheadings against innocent people. There's a lot of things happening in the world that give me grave concern, and I don't mean in any way to downplay the seriousness of those allegations, but I do think it's important that it brings up an issue which is happening in our state and is happening in our country. You know, when you take a human being, you consider the preciousness and value of their life, and we allow something like this to happen, whether it be overseas or here at home. It's not just an injury or a crime. It's really an indignity. It's just a defacement of something sacred, the value of human life, and we're repulsed by it because the body has a spiritual essence. And it just feels different when you think about gruesome procedures like that because it's beneath the minimal standards of civilization. But here in our country, and even in South Dakota, surprisingly, which many people don't even realize is happening, there are abortionists who similarly are beheading unborn children during dismemberment abortions. And they're also tearing apart the limbs of living unborn children. And this, to me, is something so grievous and serious, and that's why I'm bringing this bill and this amendment for discussion before you today. The interesting fact is that these procedures do happen in South Dakota, even though almost all South Dakotans believe that they're not happening. And Planned Parenthood, the only abortion clinic in the state, has denied that they dismember unborn children. They've stated into the media that the clinic doesn't provide surgical abortions in which a dilation and evacuation is required. That is the procedure, medical term used to describe the procedure which would be prohibited by the amendment before you, which prohibits dismemberment from happening to living unborn children. The Planned Parenthood stated to the media in RH Reality Check that technically the hospitals in the state can perform such procedures, but none of the hospitals in the state do. Now, I know that there's differing opinions on where these procedures are performed and how the statistics are gathered. And I'm happy to hear that Planned Parenthood claims that they don't perform any of these abortions. But in fact, the Department of Health Statistical Digest, which statistics are compiled from health providers and Planned Parenthood clinics' own reporting, tell a different story. There's statistics on the Department of Health website regarding abortion procedures that show in 2013 there was at least one D&E dismemberment abortion conducted, and the year prior there were two. The 2 years prior to that, in 2010 and 2011, that showed zero, and prior to that, there were about four. So that's a total of seven dismemberment abortions that were conducted in the past 6 years. Now, I don't understand why there's a discrepancy between the Planned Parenthood clinic claiming that they don't ever perform these procedures. But what I do know for a fact is that there was a lawsuit initiated by Planned Parenthood of South Dakota where they spent over $250,000 in legal fees fighting against the Attorney General of South Dakota for the authority to conduct abortions up to 14 weeks, 6 days. And up to that, you know, after 14 weeks, there is no other procedure possible to end the life of an unborn child other than a dismemberment abortion. So if they claim that they don't do these, I feel that likely what they're saying is We haven't done them today. We don't plan on doing them in the future, but we reserve the right to do them, and we feel that the option is necessary. And I'm bringing this bill because I believe it's not an acceptable practice. And why would you spend $250,000 when the state of South Dakota passed a law that said after 12 weeks, we can't do any abortion because it would require such gruesome procedures that are violating our human standards and conscience? But that was their proposal. They wanted to be able to do that up to 14 weeks, 6 days, at which point the child has fully formed arms, legs, and heartbeat. They feel pain. All these things have been medically proven. According to the pro-abortion American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, abortions using suction and aspiration can be performed up to 14 weeks in some cases, but after 14 weeks, they have to perform that procedure. There was testimony in the Congress House Judiciary Committee discussing the completely gruesome nature of this procedure. And I do have that information available for you. I'm not going to go through and read that today. But the gist of it is that it is very difficult to end a human life at this stage of development, that you need to go in and use aggressive force to end the child's life. So in the process of working this legislation through the process, last year I brought a bill on dismemberment, and at the request of different advisors that were working with me on the bill, I decided to withdraw the bill at that time and work on it for next year. And this year I brought House Bill 1230, which originally the language was preventing one of the most gruesome aspects of this procedure, the beheading of the unborn child. And then I proceeded, as the House floor had issues with the nature of that language, and removed the language from the bill against my request, to offer an amendment that is in line with the efforts in multiple states to prohibit dismemberment abortions that are happening in all of the country and passing in various states in this country. So that's the amendment that I passed out before you today. When we're dealing with these kinds of issues, it's really important that we get the language and legal definitions accurate and also compatible with the state laws of South Dakota. And I realize that at this hour of the game in the process, that it's difficult to make sure that we have all the right eyes on this and moving the process forward. So I'm going to leave it at the discretion of the committee whether this is the right time to pass the amendment before you, or whether we want to take some more time to look at that and see if we can get the language correct. In general, I just want to say that I believe this is the most important issue facing America. I believe it's a spiritual issue that has ramifications for all of us. That it's not good enough just to say that I'm in favor of life. That when we look around and we are actually supporting someone's right to dismember an unborn child who should not have any less of a right of existence and human being that you and I have, simply because they're a smaller person, simply because they're somewhat less developed than us, simply because they're somewhat dependent on their parents for survival. You know, even as a newborn baby, you're dependent on your parents for survival. So my view is that we all, as South Dakotans and as Americans, need to be vigilant and outspoken in our efforts to end the atrocities that are happening in our country. And we need to take all reasonable measures to protect our fellow citizens who currently, because of an egregious and completely legally problematic Supreme Court decision, which was not voted on by any of the American public. We have a situation today that these children's lives are not being protected. And that's why I'm working on these efforts. I believe that's an important thing for us all to continue to work towards. And I would appreciate the consideration of this committee and all the members of the legislature to try and do what we can to right this wrong and end the injustice. And Mr. Chairman, committee members, you have before you House Bill 1230 and an amendment that seeks to address some of the issues that I'm discussing. And whether you believe it's the appropriate time to move this type of language forward, I would leave that at the committee discretion, but I would appreciate the opportunity to reconsider a different measure that I've had brought earlier. So with that, I will close my comments and be open up for questions.
Thank you, Representative. Let's go see if we have other proponents. Other proponents for House Bill 1230, other proponents? Seeing none, let's move then to opponents. Do we have opponents for House Bill 1230? Welcome, Ms. Pease.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Debbie Pease. I'm the lobbyist for South Dakota Right to Life. So what you have before you right now with House Bill 1230, it's a statement. It says, the state of South Dakota recognizes the sanctity of human life. And I think we can all agree with that statement, but it really doesn't belong in statute in this form. It really should be a resolution. So we would ask you just to not take it any farther. And as far as the amendment, South Dakota Right to Life totally agrees that there will be a time to bring dismemberment language. We don't think that this is the right time or the way to do that. So we respectfully ask that you would send this bill to the 41st day. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pease. Other opponents? Other opponents? Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, gentlemen of the committee. Rita Hoglum, lobbyist for South Dakota Eagle Forum. It's not an enviable position to be the second oldest pro-life organization in the state and rise up as an opponent to a bill like this. But sometimes that's what has to happen. I agree with the previous speaker. The statement that you see in House Bill 1230 is just that, a statement, more resolution than to be brought as a resolution, not as a bill. We really were not, I really didn't know what was happening. I had heard that there would be an amendment. I really didn't know if it was going to be brought or not. I agree that the amendment that was proposed, that the timing is not right. It is a type of legislation that should not be dropped this late in the legislative session. So I'm hoping that that you would just say no to the amendment at this time because it is ill-timed, and dispense with a statement that should be more of a resolution rather than come as a bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Hoglund. Other opponents? Other opponents of House Bill 1230? Seeing no other opponents, let's move then to questions from the committee. Questions from the committee. Then let's move to discussion and action. Discussion and action. Senator Curd.
Mr. Chair, I move to table House Bill 1230.
Oh, hang on just a second. Rebuttal. I'm sorry. Excuse me, Senator. I'll come back to you. It's important that we, it's an important issue. Please respond with your rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Isaac Latterell, represented District 6. And I definitely have some sympathy for the previous testimony that you heard in opposition. And I understand that these issues are very important, yet it is important that we work on the language. So if you do choose to move forward with deferring the passage of this bill to another time, I'd be looking forward to working with you committee members and members of the audience here, that we can come up with language that is legally sound and was helped solve this issue in our state. And I appreciate the chance to testify before you guys today.
Thank you again, Representative. Sorry, Senator Curd, just a quick comment. You know, we have before us, it's been handed out, as everyone kind of knows, an amendment that could be acted upon. We also have a bill that can be acted upon. Now, Senator Curd.
Thank you. I move to table House Bill 1230.
We have a motion to table House Bill 1230. Do we have a second? Second, Ms. Senator Heinert. Is that right? We have a motion and a second on how to table. I'm sorry. Table, yeah. The House Bill 1230. Discussion. No discussion? I'm sorry. We have a motion to table. This is a... that's a voice vote? No. Secretary, are those in favor of the motion to table, please say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Bradford.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Jensen's excused. Rush.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
House Bill 1230 is therefore tabled. Just students, so you understand, then amendment that was passed out was not acted upon. The bill was acted upon. It now is tabled. We could have put it to the 41st day. When you table it, you could bring it back off the table, just so you know. But right now we've dealt with it in this manner, so it will not proceed further from here as we just voted. Certainly the representative will be working on some language for next year, and I'm sure he'll be back again. He's got a cohort right there beside him, Senator Hager, and they both have a very deep emotional feeling, but also very strong feelings about this. So thank you. Senator Thiessen.
Mr. Chair, I move to adjourn.
We have a motion for adjournment. Is there a second?
Second.
To Senator Reiner again. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. We are adjourned.